Me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Jeremiah chapter 40. Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah when he had taken him, being bound in chains among all that were carried away captive of Jerusalem and Judah, which were carried away captive unto Babylon. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, The Lord thy God hath pronounced evil upon this place. Now the Lord hath brought it and done according as he hath said. Because ye have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed his voice. Therefore, this thing is come upon you. And now, behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which were upon thine hand. If it seem good unto thee to come with me into Babylon, come, and I will look well unto thee. But if it seem ill unto thee to come with me into Babylon, forbear. Behold, all the land is before thee. Whither it seemeth good and convenient for thee to go, thither go. Now, while he was not yet gone back, he said, Go back also to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon hath made governor over the cities of Judah, and dwell with him among the people, or go wheresoever it seemeth convenient unto thee to go. So the captain of the guard gave him victuals and a reward, and let him go. Then went Jeremiah unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and dwelt with him among the people that were left in the land. Now when all the captains of the forces which were in the fields, even they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, governor in the land, and had committed unto him men and women and children and the poor of the land, of them that were not carried away captive to Babylon, then came to Gedaliah to Mizpah even Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and Johanan, and Jonathan, the sons of Kareah, and Seraiah, the son of Tahumet, the sons of Ephi, the Netophathite, and Jezaniah, the son of a Maacathite, they and their men. And Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, swear unto them and to their men, saying, Fear not to serve the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. As for me, behold, I dwell at Mizpah to serve the Chaldeans, which will come unto us. But ye, gather ye wine and summer fruits and oil, and put them in your vessels, and dwell in your cities that ye have taken. Likewise, when all the Jews that were in Moab and among the Ammonites and in Edom and all that were in all the countries heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant of Judah and that he had set over them Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, even all the Jews returned out of all places whither they were driven and came into the land of Judah to Gedaliah unto Mizpah and gathered wine and summer fruits very much. Moreover, Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were in the fields came to Gedaliah to Mizpah and said unto him, Dost thou certainly know that Baalis, the king of the Ammonites, hath sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to slay thee? But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, believed them not. Then Johanan, the son of Kareah, spake to Gedaliah in Mizpah, secretly saying, Let me go, I pray thee, and I will slay Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and no man shall know it. Wherefore should he slay thee, that all the Jews which are gathered unto thee should be scattered, and the remnant in Judah perish? But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, said unto Johanan, the son of Kareah, Thou shalt not do this thing, for thou speakest falsely of Ishmael. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. The first section I have, that is verses 1 through 6. We see the formal disposition of Jeremiah. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard. Now, this is interesting by way of introduction here. See, verse 1 begins, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, after that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah." Okay, what you hear in chapter 40 is not the word of Jeremiah that's being spoken of. What you hear in chapter 41 is not the word of Jeremiah that's being spoken of. We don't really get to this word until 42, long about verse 6 or 7. Okay, so this helps you to understand, it helps us to understand the passage, because what is about to be said are words that come from Nebuzaradan to Jeremiah. This is not the word of the Lord that comes through Jeremiah. That doesn't come until chapter 42. We have a historical interlude here in chapters 40 and 41 before we get to that word that's introduced in chapter 40. Okay? So let's remember that as we move forward. And isn't it most interesting indeed that Nebuzaradan lisps to Jeremiah with the accent of a Babylonian all the words that God had pronounced against the city, and that they have finally now come to pass? This is, again, a part of the irony that Jeremiah imbibes in this portion of his book. It is indeed something that the Babylonians believed, that it was the Lord God who delivered Jerusalem into their hands because of the sins of the people, whereas those that were in Jerusalem, the inhabitants of it, including the kings and nobles, refused to believe that. And so it is in the words of a prophet, and then in the lisping of a foreigner, or the accent of a foreigner, that these words are told. It's interesting. And yet they didn't hear, and so they found themselves destroyed and scattered. So listen to what he says. He says, "The captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, The Lord thy God hath pronounced evil upon this place. Now the Lord hath brought it and done according as he hath said. Because ye, you Jews, have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed his voice. Therefore, this thing is come upon you." Now you might just want to say, well, there are things, you know, he's grandstanding. He's looking to humble them. He's trying to cut off any rebellion. He's telling them this is the Lord's doing, and there could be political reasons for this. This seems to me to be a very cynical interpretation of the passage. Really, this is, remember that Daniel has been in Babylon for a little while already, that he's had a ministry there, that he's been familiar with the court of Nebuchadnezzar. And so Nebuchadnezzar and his men are not unfamiliar with the true and living God. Okay, so then Nebuzaradan does as he was told from Nebuchadnezzar. He takes the chains off from Jeremiah's hands, and he gives him freedom to go anywhere he wants. If you want to come with me to Babylon, you can, and we'll treat you very well. That was quite an offer. Quite an offer. They had respect for him as the prophet of God. That's what this shows. And so they were willing to take him to Babylon and perhaps to let him sit with Daniel in the court, to be an acquaintance and a consort with Daniel, in order that they might, as co-prophets, lead and teach the things of the great God. Remember that Daniel had already surpassed all of the wisdom of the Chaldeans. So they offer him a position in Babylon. And he makes another suggestion. If you want, you can go to Gedaliah, who the king is setting up as the governor over the land. You can go and be his advisor, if you will. Or you can go anywhere else you want. You are absolutely free. And again, part of the irony. Whereas the man of God had been shut up in chains, now Zedekiah is let off in chains, and the man of God is free. Okay, so what does Jeremiah choose? Well, what do you think he's going to choose? He's a dedicated minister. So what does he do? He chooses to go to Gedaliah to remain in the land and continue to give advice and counsel from the word of God to the governor and to all who would come to him, how they ought to behave themselves under this new and strange situation as vassals of the king of Babylon. So that's verses 1 through 6. So the dedicated ministry of Jeremiah is what comes to the fore there. And then also the irony of hearing the word of the Lord from a mouth, from the mouth of a man from Babylon. All right, so now we have the, I call it the kindness, right? The kindness of Gedaliah. Gedaliah is really, it seems, a fitting ruler. A fitting ruler. And so he calls all of the people to him and he says, let's serve the king of Babylon. We don't need to worry about that. This is not something that is bad. This is something that is good. The Lord has left us in this land. Let us serve the king of Babylon. Let us wait patiently for the deliverance of the Lord, not as rabble-rousers, not as rebels, but as good servants, good tributaries, and wait upon the Lord until he bring us back. Let's take a look at what we have, not what we don't. We have vineyards. We have oliveyards. We have lands. We have fields. We can plow. We can harvest. We can raise cattle. We can do all of this stuff. So bring some southern fruit, some summer fruits, some oil and some wine. Put them in your vessels and dwell in the cities that you now have, that you've taken. That takes us down to verse 10. So Gedaliah shows himself to be a fitting ruler. He's giving to the people leave to do what they're supposed to do, to be productive, to work in their callings, to provide for themselves and their families, and yes, probably to give tribute to the king of Babylon, which is not a bad thing at this point. Well, so good is the deal, so attractive is the offer, that all the Jews that were scattered outside of the land of Judea, in Moab and in Edom and in all of those foreign places, they all come back. They come back to Gedaliah, spread out in the land, and begin to take their place in the land to prosper. All right, so that takes us down through verse 12. Even all the Jews returned out of all the places whither they were driven and came to the land of Judah, to Gedaliah, and to Mizpah, and gathered wine and summer fruits very much. The Lord blessed them in so doing. All right, so then in verses 13 through the end, we have, do you think that which was established under Gedaliah was too good to be true? You're right. It was. And so how do we end chapter 40? We end chapter 40 with the storm clouds brewing on the horizon. There's a man named Ishmael who'd been spending time with the Ammonites and the king of the Ammonites. And he had designs himself on ruling in the land, not as a governor under Babylon, but to throw off the yoke of those dirty old heathens and to reign as king because he was of the seed royal. That was his design. Now you gotta love Gedaliah here. Listen to what he says. A man comes to him, Johanan, the son of Kareah. He spoke to Gedaliah in Mizpah secretly. First of all, it is said to him, Ishmael has been sent by the king of the Ammonites to come and take your life. Gedaliah says, no, you're mistaken. This is an evil report. I'm not going to take it up. Sorry. Then Johanan says, it is true, Gedaliah. O governor, it is true. So send me ahead. Let me take him out before he becomes a threat. That's his offer. Right? Listen to what verse 15 says. Johanan, the son of Kareah, spake to Gedaliah in Mizpah, secretly saying, let me go, I pray thee, and I will slay Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and no man shall know it. Wherefore should he slay thee, that all the Jews which are scattered unto thee, gathered unto thee, should be scattered, and the remnant of Judah, or the remnant in Judah, perish. Well, he's making a pretty good circumstantial argument, isn't he? What does Gedaliah say? You're speaking falsely about Ishmael. Nope. I refuse to believe it. I'm not going to take up an evil report. And not only will I not hear unlawfully, I will not command unlawfully, no matter what. We don't keep bad things from happening by acting unlawfully. Gedaliah is a great example here even though it will cost him his life, better to die before the Lord having acted lawfully under his hand of providence than die before the Lord having acted unlawfully under his curse. Right? Gedaliah shows himself a great example what it means to be a true statesman. He will refuse to take up an evil report against someone. He will refuse to act unlawfully, even at threat of his own life, even if such unlawful actions might, humanly speaking, save his life. He refuses all of that and behaves himself uprightly before the Lord. I don't expect to see Ishmael in heaven, but I do expect to see Gedaliah. And isn't that what matters? Isn't that really, at the end of the day, what we ought to be concerned about, rather than, quote unquote, saving our own skin? And so Gedaliah shows himself then to be an upright man. How did that providence of God work out for him that he was so upright? Well, if we're going to judge the rightness of something or the uprightness of something in how it turns out providentially, we're going to be sadly disappointed, because the Lord indeed had already pronounced judgment upon Judah. He takes Gedaliah home to himself to hasten that judgment, as he did Josiah a couple of generations before. Okay? All right. Thus ends the reading then of Jeremiah chapter 40.